This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I don't love junior mints. I just don't hate them. I don't understand why they are treated like second-class candy.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Oh, you don't understand why a candy that is basically toothpaste wrapped up in stale chocolate is treated like a second-class candy. All right, I get it. It's a good, valid question.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Is there a time to change? You know, the three teams I've drafted this year... Second class candy is pretty good.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
It's the candy one. Could have been the cereal one. Know what's in our house? How could you? You wouldn't know what's in our house. Something, grape nuts.
Whose idea was that?
I don't know. Not mine.
Yeah.
No problem with grape nuts. That was in the food mixture, the lost bet.
Yeah.
We talked about.
Yeah, we didn't really hash that out. Was that who were we talking to yesterday where that came up? Was that Ross?
Rob Gronkowski.
No. Come on.
He was on hold.
Yeah.
Sam Monson.
Oh, right. It was Sam because he's got the mustache thing going for charity. The way we did that year, I don't know if it was always the plan, but at some point I remember whatever the lead was. Like I was in front and that dictated however many games I was up dictated yep. how many things we were going to put into a bowl to make you eat.
Right.
And I think we ended up four because molasses, grape nuts, anchovies, something else. I don't remember.
Whipped cream.
I think there was one more thing. I mean, it was,
I can hear Andrew Filippone making the point that there would be a law of diminishing returns on this.
Uh-huh.
That the more the ingredients right. does not necessarily make it worse.
Right.
Even two can be enough. Even one. Right. You give me a Brussels sprout, I don't know. I don't want to eat it. I mean, even one ingredient can be offensive.
I mistakenly ordered pizza because, you know, you never talk to people anymore. So I ordered online and I ordered a pizza. And the way I read the menu, it was like, you know, some specialty pie from someplace, you know, pepperoni, mushrooms, sweet peppers, onions. And like in parentheses, it said option to add anchovies. And when I ordered, I definitely did not take the option to add anchovies, but anchovies came on the pizza.
Mm.
And like, I didn't notice it when I opened.
Is that a problem? Really?
Yeah.
Not a fan?
Not a fan.
I love them.
That's the kind of thing that, you know, you open the pizza box right away. From my years and years of experience, you know there's anchovies on a pie.
Yeah.
I didn't notice it and just got on the plate, took a bite, like, oh my God, like, what is happening to me? Tried to pick them off. I had to throw it out.
Threw out the whole pizza.
It was only like a quarter pie from a place. So, you know, it was like four, six slices, whatever. It wasn't a whole, you know, $30 pizza.
If only you had a panther in your motel room.
Right, I could have saved it and fed it.
Panther.
Wait until it was old and then fed it to the panther.
Wait until it's old.
Right.
Yeah. Ooh. That's interesting. To throw out a pizza because of one ingredient.
I just could not get it. I think
because you're so excited about it.
Yeah.
Too. Like,
well, the thing is, it was like an add-on. You know, we got the stuff everybody likes, And I'm looking at the menu. It's like supplement. I always get too much and, just, you know, leftovers and whatever, right? That'll be another meal for me some night my wife is working.
Same.
So I get extra. I'm like, oh, you know what? I'll try this. I like the sound of this. I don't want anchovies, but, you know, I'm sure I'm fine here. And for some, you know, whatever. Maybe it's mixed up, whatever. I clicked a box I didn't mean to click. I don't know.
Some people would call.
You're
not the type.
I just thought, whatever.
Maybe it was your mistake.
I'm fine here. Yeah. I am not fine. I had to toss the pizza.
So. Same as you, though, in when it comes to pizza and, you know, the rest, order way too much on purpose.
Yep.
Like, I'm at a point now where let's have a night kind of pizza order will be $100.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like two big pizzas and wings and a pasta or something. Like, it'll be $100.
Right. But I'm going to get, like, if it's a Saturday night, I'm going to get Sunday watching football out of that.
Oh, yeah. Too. Breakfast.
Right. Like, I do that with intent. You know, yep. Know. It's not like, oh, whoops, I ordered too much food. No, I'm ordering too much food on purpose.
One time recently.
I guess that makes it not too much food, actually.
Yeah, that's right. It doesn't get thrown out unless it has anchovies on it.
Right.
One time recently, I opted not to do that because my wife sometimes will complain. To be like, we really don't need $100 worth. I mean, it's just us, right? So one time recently, you know, maybe it was like regular time, 5 o'clock or something, pizza, a Saturday, and the night winds down and it's 10, and I just finished it. And the kids, like both my kids woke up the next morning and they're like, Dad.
Where's the pizza?
Where is my pizza? Where's my morning pizza?
Where's the extra pizza?
It's not just Margo spoiled.
Right, right.
So, all right, well, we learned something there. Today's busy. We've got Paul Hamilton coming up at 3:30 on the Sabres win. We'll talk to Joe Ostrowski today. That's always great. Thursdays at 4. And Chris Trapasso will join us at 5. It's not our area anymore in mid-November and beyond. Next year's draft, right? Like, we're really not. We haven't spent a minute on next year's draft. And I don't intend for our time with Chris to only be, in fact, I don't think most of it will be on next year's draft. I want to talk about this year's draft with him. And we really haven't done that much of that either. Coleman, in terms of the Bills, and I think the obvious to me reason why is because it hasn't gone badly. If it had gone badly and the Bills weren't 9-2, we would be having people would be calling in about that trade. And
how
that
could
pick.
They have thought he was going to replace, you know, your name here, Diggs or Davis, whatever your expectations might have been? You know, they needed to do more. But yeah, I think it's gone pretty well. I hope he gets back soon and that this time away doesn't slow down what looked to me like trust that was growing and an expanded role that seemed to be maybe coming. So, I hope that all still stays on track whenever he gets back.
It is, 22 catches. I mean, it's not off the charts.
No, oh God, no. No.
It's 22 catches. This might be, number one on the list of reasons why I want the Bills to win a championship or the Sabres is the fans, you know, people that have invested so much of their lives in these teams. Like, that's number one for the fans. Number two is the idea that I love it in a fantasy context and, you know, in real sports, that if you do that, everything was fine. Like, there's no criticizing a draft pick to me. There's no point in it. There's no reason to do it. There's no point in criticizing a decision that, this could be coaches too, like coaching decisions too, or even players, that you made in a championship season. I mean, of course, not every move is the right move. Right. That never happens. You know, the Chiefs, it's not like everything they've done has been right. The last couple of years, far from it.
They drafted a first-round running back that can't get a uniform on game days anymore.
Yeah, that did not work out at all.
No.
So, Belichick and his receivers and corners over the years, like, just kind of disastrous. But he's got 6 rings or whatever, so what can you say? You know, that you're still right. But it just doesn't, the critique doesn't get off the ground because you won.
Right.
And I want that one of these years for the Bills because scrutinizing these draft picks. We always do it. And most of them under Brandon Bean can be scrutinized. You know, these first round picks, Allen, no, but almost every other one can be scrutinized. Right now we're at a point where their last three, I think, you know, honestly, well, Coleman isn't a first round pick, but pick 33. We'll see what that is. I'm not inclined to criticize it based on what's happened so far. I'm even, like we said, like you said, a little bit, you know, encouraged by it. But, you know, there were other guys, and it's 22 catches. Kincaid hasn't really worked yet. You know, like the Bills are good. The offense is good. He's had a couple of good games. Season high this year, 52 yards. I mean, it hasn't really worked yet. He's not a red zone staple. Mm-hmm. He's not a big play threat. Right now, it's just okay. And then Elam before that. So it's not like they're hitting home runs with these picks, but they're winning. And, you know, who cares?
And some of that is offset by
not who cares,
hits but that they got later in drafts.
Right.
I mean, they're getting, you know, they get big contributions. Some of the best players on it. We can't wait for Milano to get back. He's a fifth-round pick. That predates Bean, I think. That's the first draft.
Yeah.
The 17 draft.
Unless he was on the phone.
Taron Johnson is one of those. Yeah, they whatever.
Benford.
And lots of teams. Yeah, Benford especially. Right. Benford. So I don't even, you say that, and I'm thinking, three drafts. Does it go back as far as Ed Oliver? Like, where are we here? I forget about Elam because of Benford. Like, if they were scrambling for a second corner, a, you know, second boundary corner, and it was sort of a turnstile, and they could, then there'd be more, I think, light shined on Elam. But the fact that they got a guy in the sixth round of the same draft that almost from the minute they got here looked like, okay, he's pretty good, at least. Now I think he's even better than that. You better get ready to start thinking about, you know, paying him at some point. Like, we're there. This is year three. So him, Rousseau, like, there's guys here.
Rousseau
is somebody that's going to have to get paid, for sure.
And that's a first-round pick.
Yep.
And that pick has been fine. Like, he's good enough where, I mean, there's no reason to bounce that around.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah.
And Oliver.
I would advocate paying him. They've already paid Oliver. So, yeah.
But just in terms of, like, the pick itself.
Right.
You know, you can't be upset about him.
No. No, if you, and maybe not everyone agrees, but if, you know, you think it makes sense to give a guy a second contract, there's no way you can convince me that was a bad pick. Now teams may do that just because they can't attract people, they got to hang on to guys, and like the Bills maybe used to be like that. Like, this guy isn't that good, but he'll stay here if we give him $12 million, that kind of thing. I don't think they live like that anymore. They shouldn't be living like that anymore. So you get to a place.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Place where a defensive end you drafted in the first round deserves a second contract and you think it's warranted, that's a good pick.
So, I mean, we've talked to Chris for a few years. I remember him not that excited about Rousseau, and not criticizing Chris for that. Like, mm-hmm. I sometimes will take my cues from him, and we all should know, just how hard it can be to, you know, be right, depending on how it turns out. I mean, right isn't even how I'd want to put it, because doing the best possible job in the draft is also about understanding value, you know, among positions. So if you drafted a kicker in the first round and he was in the Pro Bowl every year, I mean, is that a good pick? Maybe, maybe not. I mean, probably shouldn't have done it anyway. So it works like that. But if you win, it's all good. And it would be nice. That's second on my list. It would be nice one of these times to have that kind of luxury where we don't have to, you know, worry about it, really. Like, that was your team. Anybody who contributed on a Super Bowl team, it can be said, was worth having.
Validates them being on the roster in the first place, however you acquired them.
Yes. So, you know, with Chris, we talked so much about receivers this offseason, and I'm excited to sort of look back at that. And, you know, there were so many guys. We've got this board in here still with names like Devontae Walker and Roman Wilson on it, who haven't done one thing in the league yet. You know, they might not have been crazy in the second round. I mean, Wilson might have even been a day two pick. I forget. Jalen Polk right there has been, I think, a disappointment for New England. Baker, also with the Patriots, hasn't done anything yet.
Got kind of a bad reputation already there.
Polk was the Patriots trading out from their pick right after the Bills with the Chargers, who took McConkey. And McConkey was one of my favorite ideas.
And that looks real nice.
It does. Like, he looks better than the other guys drafted around him and before him so far. It's circumstances. You know, that's a team that was wide open at receiver, really wide open for a guy as a rookie to make an impact. And I think he's done that. Then you have Leggett and Ricky Pearsall, and of course Worthy to go with Coleman. So I think that'll be fun to talk about with Chris Trapasso later. James Cook, not a first-round pick, second-round pick, like Coleman, other end of the second round. His last year, his fourth and final year of his contract is next year. And you're not going to want to determine whether it was a good pick, you know, per se, based on whether there's another contract in this case.
Running back is a big asterisk in that department, in my opinion, anyways. So, yeah, we'll see about that. Like, I felt this way about Singletary. Singletary is like the first example of this, right? Like, he's the first running back they draft. And right after they draft him, they do it again with Zach Moss. I'm thinking, okay, well, that's the plan. They have a guy on deck to replace this guy when his contract runs out. Moss didn't even make it to the end of that. And they draft Cook. And, yeah, now I'm of the same mind. Like, I almost, in a way, don't want him to be any better than he is already. Because I think it's just going to increase the desire they might have to pay for him. And, you know, I think Cook, I like Cook more than I think you do. I think he's been very good for them. But I don't want to pay a second. Part of the value in that is, to me, he's a second-round pick, and he's playing on that contract. And that's excellent. If I'm getting that kind of production, I don't want to pay $10 million a year for that. You know, it's like five times what I'm paying for it now, I think, or around that. I'm not sure what his cap number is. But all the same, like, he'd have to like, do something incredible for me to even think about extending a 4-year, $50 million contract or something. I don't even want to think about it.
He's going to have to score 30 goals, I think, is what you're going to need from James Cook.
Right.
You better get going
right
on that front. Well, that's another thing, you know, from winning, and we'd never root against that, but you can become more sentimental when you win.
Right.
Especially if it's your first. And the way that every player, you ever think about this? Bills or Sabres, but it's the Bills right now. Every player on the team would be a legend if they won. And you never know who the guy is going to be in the championship game.
That does the thing, right? Sure. Yeah, I was like that when the Red Sox won the first time in 04. And then, like, opening day the next year, it's like, oh, here's Derek Lowe, even though he's not on the team anymore. I think that was right. And maybe Billy Miller and, like, all these guys. And I remember saying on the air, like, I'd have been fine if those guys played in those uniforms until they were 75 years old. I kind of want to watch a season of them just taking a victory lap. That's what I really want. And that's not pro sports. It doesn't work that way. You know, you keep going and you keep building and you supplement and change. But yeah, it gets harder to do that when you've won. Cause I think the heartstrings tug at you. You just, you know, who's going to not, we're like that. You know, a lot of fans are like that. I mentioned it this week talking about Hayden Poyer, you know, even they didn't win anything. I mean, you know, they won a lot of football games and made the playoffs a bunch of times, but even that I think was hard for fans to separate. Like, do we really need to do this? I wish you could hang on to him, you know, just cause sentimentality.
And the Red Sox example is akin to what the Bills would be.
Right.
The first.
Right.
You wouldn't have cared if guys on the 2013 Red Sox.
No, right. By then I couldn't have cared less.
You know,
right.
Just Who even remembers which of those guys left? I mean, if you're a fan, you probably do. I'm not a fan, so easy for me to say.
But I was, and I don't.
Okay.
I just don't remember.
Was Yaz still on the team?
Right.
Yaz retired after the 2013 World Series. Maybe. That was the year, right? They did win that
year. Yeah. 04, 07, 13, and 18.
Okay.
Out of the four. Yeah.
So we're excited to watch that. I'm excited to watch football tonight. The weather seems like legit. Already in Cleveland, snow. And 38 degrees, 35 to 38 degrees, snow to sleet.
Yeah, I saw
wind.
It's rain / snow / snow pellets.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what that's called.
I think that's freezing rain. But
I'm so okay. Far removed from winter anymore. I don't even know what anything's called anymore.
Snow pellets?
That's not sleet. Sleet versus hail.
I don't know what the hell that is.
Snow pellets? Doesn't sound good.
No.
But the Steelers, of course, are very much in the mix here in the AFC. We've talked probably more than anything else this week about the standings and the playoff picture, and the Steelers will have a lot to say about all of this. I mean, if they were to, I think this is not going to happen, but if they were to keep winning, then they're right there with the Bills and maybe the Chiefs for the top spot. Like, they're still in play for that. Just, it seems nobody thinks they're good enough to do that. And they have a tough schedule left. Most of their division games, the Eagles are in there too. So we'll see tonight. They're only about a 4-point favorite as an 8-2 team against a 2-8 team. And that, to me, is alarm bells.
Yeah, well, those alarm bells got my attention because I marched right into a Browns winning the game on the money line parlay.
Plus 165.
We have bounced this off Joe. This is definitely not good process, I don't think. So I think what you should do is have an idea, right? Like, have an idea of what some of the odds are. I want to go in there and I want to do this and just go do that. Often, this is what I did tonight. We'll see. You know, I don't win very often. I went in there. I'm like, oh, the Browns are that on the money line. All right, let me see if I can. Yeah, the Steelers aren't that good. Jameis maybe has a night. I wasn't really thinking about the weather. I probably should have been. Well, Nick Chubb is back. Two touchdowns for him. Like, I just built the, like, just until the odds got good enough for me to go, okay. But it's predicated on the Browns winning the game. It's not that crazy, actually. It's Winston having a big passing day, which might have been stupid considering the weather. But Chubb to score twice and Browns on the money line. Let's go.
We'll see if such a mighty force as snow pellets can be enough to change the way Jameis Winston plays football. Because it may not be.
Right. And you know what they always say here? We got plenty of practice with this. The footing, if it's bad footing, that's bad for the defense. They're going to be good. You know, DBs don't know where the receivers are going. So they're going to slip and slide. And maybe if Winston can control it a little bit, there's a big day out there, said the guy who just threw $10 on a probably losing parlay.
You'll be all right either way.
Yeah.
I am also buying into Chubb thoughts tonight. It's definitely a narrative that fits. Chubb thoughts? It's too late to name teams.
Chubb thoughts.
Maybe I'll grab an NBA fantasy team and name it Chubb thoughts. But big fantasy decision, go with Nick Chubb or bench him and get to like Waddle or Lockett, other options that I've got with Adam Krautwurst tonight. But I think it's counterintuitive for a lot of fantasy players. You want to maybe duck Thursdays. And it's that thing about, if you get a bad game out of a guy and you stare at that 4 points all weekend,
right,
does not feel good. But a lot of Thursday night games this year have been not that. There have been some huge numbers. Baltimore, Cincinnati.
Like Chase and Burrow.
It was 90 points or something. Like Chase and Henry or Jackson.
Yeah,
all those games were huge games. I mean, they didn't have snow pellets that night.
Right.
But he got hurt against the Steelers in primetime last year. It's their big rivalry, or one of them, and I bet the Browns would love to, you know, to put it one way, honor him, like, for coming back and a 2-8 season. Who knows how much longer he's got after that injury, and he's been around a long time. A lot of tread on the tires.
Yeah.
So I would think they would want to really make a special effort for Nick Chubb.
Not a lot of tread on the tires, I think you mean.
He's been around a long time.
Right, that's what I mean. He's worn out. Like, not a lot.
Oh, right.
Not a lot of tread means he's fresh.
That's,
the tires are new.
That's right.
Yeah, he's
I said it backwards.
He's worn out. Right. Good thing I'm here.
There isn't tread.
Right.
There's not as much as you'd like.
Tread is getting thin on those tires.
I mean, 2018, Chubb. Paul next. We'll talk about the Sabres win. Joe Ostrowski, Chris Trapasso as we march through the day. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog. Thanks for listening. This is WGR.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.